Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom LaYehudim, Shalom LaBnei Noach, Shalom LaGoyim. This is Shai Bentekoa, webcasting to you from the hills of Judea. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio webcast name for the book of the same name, available exclusively on Amazon. It's a deniner of a book that bulldozes this generation's core anti-Semitic myth, the existence of a putatively Paleolithic Palestinian people with national rights to the land of Israel. Well, in Israel yesterday, the top story for the assimilationist Jerusalem Post, if not the Hebrew media that played it in the second tier, was the decision of the prime minister to annul the agreement of a year ago in the cabinet to produce a government-sponsored area along the western wall of the Temple Mount for the heterodox schismatics called Reform and Conservative Jews, where they could pray Gentile-style, as they prefer, in sexually mixed company, though I have my doubts they are really engaged in prayer. It's tragedy what has happened to the once vast community of American Jews. Prime Minister was right to respect the demands of those representing the overwhelming majority of Jews in Israel versus the statistically insignificant, minuscule number of Reform and Conservative congregations here. In the matter of a prayer at the Western Wall, these schismatic offshoots of classical Jewishness are forever demanding recognition and respect as valid expressions of Jewishness when that is demonstrably false and so easily proven. If we Jews had done nothing unusual in the thousands of years that we survived, well, we would not have if we had intermarried like the Reform and the Conservative today. This fact is irrefutable. The Reform and Conservative are dying communities. They're not having children. How could they possibly be seen as legitimate forms of Jewishness with this horrifying truth wrapped around them? Indeed, in the same week that the Prime Minister decided to cancel the agreement of a year ago, even the Jerusalem Post, as well as Mekor Rishon, ran stories on the demographic holocaust underway in the States where these two offshoots rule the roost. How in the name of human reason and logic can an Israeli prime minister bless behavior that has had such a catastrophic impact on the Jewish people? It's a fact that over the last century in the United States, more Jews have been lost to assimilation and intermarriage than disappeared in the European Holocaust. These are facts. How could a rational defender of the Jewish people in Jerusalem agree to smile on these dying movements? Anyway, we will get to this and other important stories in Israel after the following message or messages from Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom LaYehudim, Shalom LaBnei Noach, Shalom LaGoyim. This is Shai Bentekoa, webcasting to you from the hills of Judea. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio webcast name for the self-published book of the same name, available exclusively on Amazon.com because the politically correct mainstream publishers wouldn't touch it. It's a deniner of a book that bulldozes this generation's core anti-Semitic myth, the existence of a putatively Paleolithic Palestinian people with national rights to the land of Israel. It is the second day, Beis B'Tammuz, Parashas Chukas, Tavshinayin Zayin, the first day, Monday, 26 June, 2017. Webcasting not far from Jerusalem, but a lot closer than the Reform Jews in America, demanding that their Gentile-style communal prayers be given a kosher heksher seal of approval at the Western Wall, whose petition was canceled by the Prime Minister just yesterday. He bowed to the demands of Haredim and national religious Jews not to go ahead with providing an equal place at the wall for these heterodox groups who insist that their way is one of several different but co-equal streams in Judaism, when the facts do not support that. Only the Orthodox are having kids and raising them to live Jewish lives. On my Facebook page, I posted a letter to J-Post, to the Jerusalem Post, I sent off yesterday on the 7th. We'll see if they publish it. I doubt it. The Prime Minister canceled the plan that was adopted in 2016 to provide a government-sponsored space at the Western Wall for their sexually mixed Gentile-style gatherings, and I'm glad the Prime Minister acted as he did, if for no other reason than intellectual integrity. Shakespeare's Hamlet speaks of godlike reason, so it's not a matter of belief here, but reason that the Prime Minister responded as he did. Intellectually, it cannot be a good thing to pronounce Reform Judaism a legitimate system in Judaism when clearly, in theory and praxis, it's not. Reform Jews do not believe what classical Jews believe. And as for their praxis, there is no praxis, except maybe fasting on Yom Kippur and attending a 15-minute Seder, and hiring an Orthodox mohel to circumcise a baby boy, because there are no Reform Mohalim, ritual circumcisers, as there are no Reform Torah scribes. What kind of a Judaism is that? Reform Jews do not believe that God really exists and really appeared at Mount Sinai and really bestowed upon the children of Israel the five books of Moses that have been the lifeline and life preserver of this nation, floating in a river of time when all other nations sometimes rise to the surface and then sink below it and disappear. Yvette Lieberman, and defense minister, and the fellow Russian Jew Natan Sharansky are very upset at the Prime Minister's decision. Sharansky is head of the Jewish Agency. They think this will have a negative impact on American Jews that will alienate them, and we in Israel will lose them. Lieberman said this was an attack on Jewish unity. And I repeat that whatever the future impact of this decision will be, there is still no excuse for telling a lie. The lie that so-called Reform Judaism is a valid form of it. This is a demonstrable fraud. If the Jewish people had done nothing else in our miraculous history, we survived as no other people survived, and that would have not happened with an intermarriage rate of the Reform and the Conservative as it is today. These non-Orthodox groups simply cannot be judged valid forms of Judaism for this fact alone. The problem with Lieberman and Sharansky is that they, as secular Russians, do not know the American Reform Jewish community as I do, and I don't think they know what they're talking about. There is no Reform community except for a few noisemakers who make their acquaintance. Reform Jews live Jewish lives only a few days a year, if that. The Reform Temple educates toward a fraudulent completion called the Bar Mitzvah ceremony, and this is largely why this movement, this stream, is drying up and will soon wash up and desiccate on the riverbanks of Jewish history and disappear. A Reform Bar Mitzvah forces a boy to sing out some nonsense syllables without ever having studied the text. He's never taught the meaning of the text. As far as the boy is concerned, he could be reading the price list in a Chinese restaurant in Istanbul. The whole preparation is a torture. I speak from personal experience. Teaches a boy that being Jewish means speaking nonsense syllables that no one understands. There is also inherently in the very existence of the Reform Bar Mitzvah burlesque something that is insanely illogical. A Reform rabbi will speak of the rabbi who bar mitzvahed his son as if some ritual hocus-pocus had been enacted, that the rabbi did something to the boy. He bar mitzvahed him. To bar mitzvah is not a transitive verb. All that happens is that a boy turns 13 and becomes obligated to perform the behaviors of a Jewish adult. Putting on tefillin every day, for example, and reading from the Torah is the least of his responsibilities. But for the Reform Jew, there are no tefillin. There are no commandments, no mitzvot, commanded by the Almighty, the God of the universe. There are no mitzvahs for a Reform Jew, so what is this ceremony all about? No rabbi ever bar mitzvahed any boy. One becomes bar mitzvah at age 13 and becomes responsible for performing the mitzvot. For the Reform Jew, it's just the opposite. The bar mitzvah is like a jailbreak. The last thing you have to do to put up with, and then you become free of this nonsense of pretending to be able to read the Torah. This masquerade pantomime. When the bar mitzvah boy hasn't a clue as to what he's reading. And then the Reform Jews wonder why their boys grew up to be men with no interest in being Jews. Reform Judaism is, in a sense, a complete fraud because there's nothing there. It's just a community of 21st century vacuous and deranged American liberals. Defense Minister Lieberman and Jewish agency head Sharansky, because they themselves are not religious, they see in American Jewry soulmates, people who have a Jewish identity that is not religious, but as Russians, they miss the reality that there is no Reform Judaism. I don't think they understand the scene there. Ask a Reform Jew for a statement of faith, and he will be silent. What happened to the Jews in America was the transformation of a religious identity into an ethnic one. It is an ethnic one, plus. Being a Jewish American, though, became being like an Italian American or a Polish American or an Irish American. And it was that transformation that led to the current phenomenon of American Jews disappearing at great speed. Once Jewish identity becomes a normal, hyphenated, ethnic American identity, it must disappear into the melting pot. And that is exactly what is happening. The Prime Minister was right to do what he did. No good can come from throwing holy water on Reform and conservative Jewishness, because those two groups are hemorrhaging Jews toward extinction. Thank you.
Hey, it's Ari Fulvet, Israel News Talk Radio. If you, like me, are sick and tired, if you've had enough of listening to all the anti-Israel lies and propaganda that's being spread online and offline, in the press, in the newspapers, on TV channels, in the newsrooms across the world, tune into my weekly show, Bulletproof, on Thursdays at 5 p.m. as we discover, expose, and completely destroy all anti-Israel lies and propaganda. And we're going to do it with just the truth. As an active IDF reserve soldier, an elite paratroopers unit, I will try to give you an inside look to the opinions of the men and women of the IDF on the situation. Bulletproof will give you the tools. More importantly, will give you the weapons to take down all anti-Israel activists, no matter where you meet them. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. Israel time to Bulletproof on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, okay, so the problem with the defense minister Lieberman and Jewish agency head Natan Sharansky is that they think American Jews in great numbers are going to be upset by this decision, when for sure the overwhelming majority of them will never hear of this decision or care about the result if and when they do. Likewise, this morning's hysterical banner headline in the Jerusalem Post, which is dominated these days, it seems, by youthful and ignorant reform and conservative Jews from the States. The banner headline was, quote, "In stinging blow to diaspora Jewry, government reneges on Western Wall deal," close quote. Stinging blow to diaspora Jewry. It doesn't occur to these people that there's all kinds of Jews in the diaspora, not just in America. And if they decide to become religious, they know there's only one way to do that. What is the Western Wall to a Reformed Jew? The answer is nothing. In fact, the Reform movement, born two centuries ago in Germany, deliberately chose not to call their assembly halls synagogues, but temples, to broadcast the message to their neighbors that, unlike classical Jews, forever praying to return to Jerusalem to build a third temple, and therefore were suspect as less than loyal to the people among whom they lived, calling their meeting halls temples, made the statement that their homeland was right there in Deutschland. They were good and patriotic Germans who felt no national connection to Jews in other countries. Their temple was right there in Hamburg and Frankfurt and Berlin. This is why Reform Jews attend temples and no Orthodox Jew ever goes to a temple. The invention of the temple was deliberately intended to detach the Jews from yearning for the third temple to be built in Jerusalem. The Reform decided their capital would be in Berlin. Jews in other countries belonged to other nations. Germany was their nation. Judaism became their philosophy. And we all know how that effort to be liked by their Gentile neighbors in Germany ended up. In Israel, Defense Minister Lieberman and Sharansky and Steinitz, the Jerusalem Post, the left here, are all upset about this decision. They all overestimate the power of the so-called Reform Jews in America. The ones they come in contact with, who bother them about such things as mixed Gentile-style prayer at the Western Wall. On Friday, the Jerusalem Post ran a story on Israel losing Jewish college student support in the U.S., and the same day, Makor Rishon reported on the latest demographics, according to which most of the Jewish adults in the U.S. between the ages of 25 and 54 have no children. Demographic studies since 1990 have shown consistently the ever-rising intermarriage rate, whose numbers also show that the children of these intermarriages overwhelmingly do not see themselves as Jews or live Jewish lives. And why should they? For them, Jewishness is emptiness. At best, it's some nostalgia, and of course, there's the Holocaust. That is all the Reform Jews teach their kids year in and year out. Being a Jew is being hunted and murdered. The side of Jewishness that has nothing to do with persecution, the brilliance of the Torah, and the pleasure of the Sabbath and other holidays is never known to them. No wonder most turn their backs on the Reform temples they attended as kids. No good can come from lying about these self-identified Reform Jews as engaged in recognizably Jewish thought and practice. In any case, the ones who make the most noise and threaten a terrible tear in the fabric of the unity of Jewish people should be ignored. The tear, the break, is wholly the responsibility of their community, thinking they can be serious Jews with their hardcore feminist and Hellenistic LGBT matrix of beliefs and behaviors that are alien to thousands of years of immortal Yiddishkeit. Instead of seeing yesterday's decision as a slap in the face to reform Jews in the diaspora, see it as a form of protection, of shielding the Jews who come to the wall to pray every day, not just once a month to make trouble. These neurotic narcissists are oblivious to the fact that this country was populated by Jews coming from over 100 countries, almost every one of them except for the United States, a country with no Reform Judaism at all. Local customs were many across the globe, but at base, all Jews everywhere were Orthodox, meaning they kept kosher, they observed the Sabbath, for starters, but not among Reform, who have no idea how oddball and eccentric they are, how ignorant they are of the classical practice of Jewishness that has sustained this people for thousands of years, which the Reform and Conservative Jews are not sustaining these days, ergo they are fraudulent forms of Jewishness. Anyway, enough of this mishigas. On the diplomatic front here in Israel, the good news was the reported ill will between Jared Kushner and Mahmoud Abbas last Wednesday. Abbas, the mad doctor of Holocaust denial. And the principal bone of contention was the American demand, Kushner's demand, that Abbas stop giving money to his fellow Muslim terrorists in Israeli prisons and their families, basically paying them a salary for being Jew killers. The Arab Abbas complained that in this meeting, Kushner represented the Israeli position, saying the payments encourage terrorism, and about Kushner's second demand that the PA cease its incitement to violence, Abbas and friends were disappointed because Kushner did not talk of the two-state solution. What's going on here is a variation of the same point of friction between civilization and barbarism that has been at the core of this conflict, at least since the mid-1970s, when Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin got Secretary of State Kissinger to agree that no talks with the PLO could ever begin until the PLO renounced terrorism. This became one of the three famous demands made of the PLO for years that it had to meet in order to win recognition from the United States, which it finally did in 1988. Only Arafat, Abbas, and the hundreds of others in the PLO organizations were simply, as Arab Muslims, virtually uncomprehending when it came to this demand. They really don't understand the meaning of terror as civilized people experience the term. This is how Arabs make war with their enemies, who are most of the time other Arabs. Think of all the Arab-Arab wars. In my lifetime alone, there must have been dozens. I hypothesize, and from what I know from history, that the Middle East has always been like this. I even entitled one of the chapters in my book, Ishmael's World of Fratricide.
Lecha Eli Teshukati Becha Cheshki Ve'ahavati Lecha Libi Ve'chiliotai Lecha Ruchi Ve'nishmati Shuvi le'admati lecha ani be'odi chai ve'afki'ah שובר ותרצת תשובתי השיבני בשובר ותרצת תשובתי לך ידיי, לך רגליי, ומי מלחין תכונתי, לך עצמי, לך אדמי, השיבני ואשובה ותרצת תשובתי
Jew haters beware political hitman is here who's in my crosshairs Who's in my hot seat? I'm Howie Silberger. Join me Sundays at noon Eastern, 7 Israeli, and Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 9 Israeli, for Political Hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, for a couple days now, in a row, the mortars have fallen on the Golan, and the IDF has returned fire. They destroyed a tank and killed two Syrian soldiers the other day. This is the world we live in, the region we live in, with neighbors who are forever murderously violent toward one another, versus our leftist peace processors who believe it is possible for Israel to get the other side to make peace with us, if only we are nice enough and generous enough to the victims of Zionism, our national movement of national liberation. These 2 days of mortar fire and something today, too, I think, are surely not accidental. It has been meant to unnerve Israel and has done that to a degree. The government, we learned yesterday, is spending tens of millions of shekels to bring bomb shelters in the north up to full readiness. The concern about Hezbollah is great and real. They're trying to emplace themselves on the Syrian Golan opposite us, and Israel is making clear it will no more stand for such encroachment as, my words, of course, the U.S. would not tolerate missiles in Cuba in 1962. The Northern Front is tense, and the IDF has something to say about it every day now. And, of course, Hezbollah is nothing but Iran in disguise. A week ago yesterday was Al-Quds Day in Tehran, Jerusalem Day, in all of Iran, really, in all their major cities, and government-funded rallies for hundreds of thousands of Iranian males to burn flags, our flag, the Israeli flag, to bark out Mar Bag Israel, death to Israel. This behavior makes them feel good. These are our neighbors, and the reported friction between Jared Kushner and Abu Mazen last Wednesday revolved around, once again, the differing definitions of terrorism. Indeed, for a biblical generation now, 40 years at the United Nations, no agreed-upon definition of terrorism has ever been voted on, because the Muslims, the Arabs, insist that what they do to the Jews is not terror, as the versus the Western democracies who say, oh yes, it is. Jared Kushner clashed with Mahmoud Abbas over Kushner's view of these criminal terrorists in Israeli prisons that Abbas sees as soldiers, POWs. In his universe, there's nothing wrong when a soldier fights for his people, his cause, his stolen homeland, and attacks any member among the enemy that stole what is rightfully his. Babies in baby carriages can be shot in the head. Women shopping for Shabbos can be blown up with a bomb in the tomatoes. Bound up with this strain of thinking, if we can call it that, is the Arabs' common flaw, which is appetite for the wealth of others, and their concocting of a narrative claiming that this wealth of others really belongs to them, and they have the right to use any means to retrieve what is rightfully theirs. They conflate their appetite with a right to have it. And the Jerusalem Post reported this morning, citing the Arabic Al-Hayat in London yesterday, according to which President Trump may soon drop talks with Abbas following the tense meeting with his son-in-law, though the White House has since denied that, I think. In addition, Al-Hayat said Trump was also angry with Abbas for failing to denounce the murder of Hadas Malka, Hashem Yikom Dama, at Damascus Gate a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, right, sure. The late Harvard professor Samuel P. Huntington famously spoke of a clash of civilizations, but I think a much more accurate description would be a clash between civilization and barbarians. The idea of an equal, cooperative, neighborly relationship with the Muslims next door here, these Arabs, is a fantasy because they're so different. That's a fact that could not be more politically incorrect, I know. The very idea of the differences between peoples and cultures gives the left a case of the willies as an example of racism. But it's true, and no good can come from denying the chasm that separates Muslims from the Judeo-Christian liberal democracies of the West. And the wisest course for the West would be closing its doors to further Muslim immigration and cracking down on Islam's worst features on display among the Muslims already in these countries. In a way, it's the same old thorn of contention that we saw between 1975 and 1993 when the U.S. insisted on three demands from the PLO, one of them being the renunciation of terror, which was a foolish thing to ask for because the other side does not understand terror, and in any case, lying and making promises to the enemy is what they do all the time. What, a mass-murdering terrorist like Arafat is above lying when he declares that he's finally sworn off terror? What was the point in asking for this renunciation anyway? The Oslo peace process, so-called, was the handiwork of some of the biggest fools in Jewish history. Fools about human nature and massive ignorance about Arabs and Islam. On Friday, Makor Rishon newspaper reported on that the video documentary on anti-Jewism in Europe these days you may have heard about, Arte is the name of the station, it refused to broadcast this documentary because it was too pro-Jew. Well, it eventually was broadcast, thanks to protests by Jewish groups in Germany. But then it was followed by a panel discussion of anti-Jew experts lambasting the video, rejecting its vision. This panel discussion rightly infuriated the Jews in Germany involved in this affair. The reality is, and there's no denying it, anti-Semitism is back in fashion and in strength, not seen since the end of World War II. And this cannot be a good thing. It said that a free people must fight to preserve its freedom in every generation. And it seems the bogeyman of Jew hatred is alive and well in every generation, too. It's alive and well in Europe among the post-Christians, I think of all those in the UK who just voted for Jeremy Corbyn, a bona fide anti-Semite for sure. And of course, in every generation, we have our own heretics and apostates. In centuries past, they would convert to Christianity and Islam and give us a hard time. Think of the Ramban in 13th century Spain debating a Catholic priest, a former Jew. Pablo Cristiani, he called himself after his baptism. In Islam as well, in Rambam's day, there was a Jew who became a Muslim in Yemen and took over the whole country and made life hell for the Jews. Read Rambam's epistle to Yemen. And today we have novelists in Israel like David Grossman and Amos Oz who did not convert to Christianity or Islam, but did convert to the fashionable view of Israel, found in Europe, in London, Paris, and Cambridge, Mass., and Cambridge, England, Berkeley, California, which sees an Israeli country of benighted, racist, fascist, imperialist Zionists cruelly oppressing the legitimate national landlords of Palestine. And now in Israel, this past week, we have a visit from the United States of another novelist of Jewish extraction, Michael Chabon, and his wife, Ayelet Waldman, who live, I think, in the lovely Pacific Northwest in order to spit on Israel from afar for our treatment of the ancient Palestinians, so-called. What an intellectual fashion plate this character is. She, too. He was on Israeli radio last week and said that every morning when he wakes up, he hopes to see when he turns on his phone that President Trump has had a massive stroke and was carted out of the White House on a gurney. Michael Chabon, a Pulitzer Prize-winning anti-Jew Jew who sounds like Johnny Depp or Madonna and all these other sick showbiz people with these violent fantasies of death to the U.S. president. What's going on when every other day one of these demented, indeed ghoulish, decadent liberals in serious decay fantasizes killing Donald Trump? This is really sick. Who will be the next publicity hand in the news with his or her sick fantasy of assassinating the president? On the other hand, that Michael Chabon got into the act was reassuring to myself about my own judgment of him as an Israel-hating Jew. And this was substantiated by this latest vulgar display, and an original one, too. There's a word for him in Yiddish. Michael Chabon is a schmuck for living in peaceful and tranquil U.S., in order to sneer from his perch at our treatment of the same people who brought down the World Trade Center and have been responsible for one demonic massacre of human beings here and all over the world, one after the other. Okay, that's it for this week's edition of Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace, available exclusively on Amazon in 3 paperback volumes or a Kindle ebook. You can buy all 3 at once, there's an icon for that, or individually. Buy the first, see if you like it, which you will. And then the others. If you appreciate this webcast, you will enjoy the whole book. The music today was Bariel Ahaviel, Yossi Azulai, and Yosef Karduner. Until next week, I'm Shai Bentekoa.
שלחתי שבי לנענך ונס יגון ונחה יעתה לך צורי לקבצם מפוזרי מיד גוי אכזרי אשר קרא לי שוחה את דודים תעורר כל למלא את המשר שואל ועוד טובך בבוא כהל לסבזורה נידחה קרא ישה לעם נדבה כל דגול מרבבה יהי השבוע הבא לישוע ולרווח בת ציון השכולה אשר היא היום גאולה בהירה תהיה ואולה ועם הבנים שמחה מעיינות עזי יזובון עובדוי השם ישובון ומיישה ישבון בצרה נשכחה נחה עמך כאברהם יצפצפו
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.